Okay, so we're going to be skipping a little bit to Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. You know, Rabbi Akiva is going to be continuing next week with the Rodev Sugyos. I just thought it was a good idea, you know, for you to have today and the beginning of the morning shir on visiting day for midnight, to have, you know, the 9:15 shir. So it's a little standalone topic which comes up, you know, on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, more of a Kimle related topic. Rabbi Akiva seemed plan not to get to this, so I thought it was an appropriate topic. Again, also Kimle happens to come up a lot throughout this parak, so fine. Okay, so starting with, who's going to read for us? Yehuda? Would you mind reading for us? Three lines down from the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, starting with Zetanya. So again, as we'll see, you'll see in a moment, the main, you know, the way the Gemara gets to this is the big issue of the Rodev Sugya, which we'll Kiva will discuss next week for sure. Right, so that's how it gets to it, but we're going to focus on the klal of Nisa Lozev, that's Shulman and Lozev. So let's go for it.
Okay, Titania, Rabbi Yonos on the Tal Omer. Rode, Fede, Rode, Bacha, Chaver, Lahargo. So you have a Rode, Yomotu, Bacha, Me, Ivar, and you are able to go ahead and rather than kill the Rode, save the near dog, or save the Rode, right? That's like, yeah. Whoever you're saving,
exactly,
with one of by chopping off one of the Rodev's limbs. Although he still, if you don't do that, instead you actually kill him. Nerak, you actually get killed. You get Misa's face to Nerak. Nerak the love. My time of there, you have to make sure of this. The Gomer.
I just want to remember what's the context of the pasuk.
The pasuk is, so you have two people who are fighting. And they end up killing one of them ends up hitting a pregnant woman, and either she miscarries or she dies.
Exactly.
So if she miscarries, then you pay mamon. If she miscarries, if she dies, then maybe they can. If this puzzle is talking about a case where what actually means that if you kill the woman, and not just that she miscarries, that you would get killed
because you have intention to kill. Yeah, right. This is also the Gemara elsewhere in Sanhedrin discussed this whole issue about, you know, if you're mechavin to kill one person, you end up killing another person. That's where this also comes up. But suffice it for now. Basically, as long as you have kabbana for misa, right, when you kill the woman, you're going to be chayev misa.
Right. Because the pasuk says that you actually get killed if the woman dies. And despite this, the Torah says that if she doesn't die, you pay money. So yeah, Mishlamo Yochalat Sinil Be'achamei Yivarav Lomitan Latzil Benafsho Hayim Dimishkachas Ladiyei Yonesh Yigon Shiyocholahat Sil Be'achamei Yivarav. So if you tell me that, so if you tell me that in a case of Yocholahat Sil Be'achamei Yivarav, then you're not allowed to be killed, and if you are killed, the person who killed you would be Chayiv Misa.
Which is important, therefore, the Rodev is not Chayiv Misa.
Right. The implication would be the Rodev is not Chayiv Misa. And since the Rodev is not Chayiv Misa, I understand why the Rodev can be, why when somebody is a Rodev, he will be killed. He'll Chayiv Mamon, because he wasn't Chayiv Misa, because somebody would have been able to stop him without killing him.
Exactly, because obviously the implicit issue is, what about Kimle? How can you ever have, basically if the case at hand is where we're talking about a Rodev, and Rodev is Chayiv Misa, how in the world is there ever a situation where this Rodev will be Chayiv Mama? What about Kimle? So the Gemara is saying, if you hold that there's a case of Rodev where there's no Chayiv Misa, that's the easiest way to explain the Gemara. Is only a chiyav mamon because in that situation there was no chiyav misa because there's nitan latzilo be'echad mevar. But
that is his shita. But El Yam Yochel Atzil be'echad mevar nami nitan latzilo benasho. But if you tell me that a rodev can be killed no matter what, he's always chiyav misa. How would he ever be paying money? He's always a rodev because we're talking about a case of rodev, and then he should never be able to have to pay. Should always have Kimlai.
What about Kimlai, exactly?
So the answer, Dilma Shiny Hafa, the Misa Lazah, Jitash Lumin Lazah. So it's possible that we can differentiate, that we can explain why they get Chayiv of the Mamon, because the Misa is Lazah, meaning for his Chayiv of the Azarodate. The Tashlumin is specifically to the woman and her husband whose Vlados have been Nifsat.
Right. So at this stage, the Gemara has introduced a very important exception to Kimle, right? Generally, Kimle is a p'tur, right? It's a p'tur of the unesh hakal, the less chamor unesh. We have an exception in the case where, we'll define exactly what this means, but in the case of misa lezeh, that's defined, that's an exception to Kimle, and you end up being chayiv in such a case with both onshin. So basically, the Gemara is suggesting maybe that's why this is chayiv mamon, because this case is misa lezeh, v'tashlumin lezeh. One last stage.
Right, so loshna, you can't give this teretz. Why? Dama rava, rodesh le rodef hachachavero, v'shiver esak helev, bein shal nirdav, bein shal kol adam, putter. So if you have a rodef who breaks kalim, regardless of whether those kalim belong to the nirdav or belong to anybody else, he's going to be putter. My taima, v'shayev b'nach shalom. He is chayev misa. So you see that somebody who is chayev mis a rodef after one person, and he breaks some, and he's chayev, and he becomes chayev mamon at the same time to somebody else who owns a random kli. Such a person still has kimlay. So you see that there's no concept of misa lazeh tashlum and lazeh, at least not here.
Okay, very good. So, you're very good at. I appreciate that. You're very good at keeping. You read the Gemara, keeping things vague when they need to be vague, based on the later machlokas. For sure. So well done here again.
Thank you.
I think it was Yetzei Adin Lamito. Was that the last time?
What?
I think it was the first sig of Yetzei Adin Lamito, yes. Where you also kept the gather of MS sufficiently vague because of the machlokas. So it's, you know, it's noticed and appreciated. Fine, right?
You're welcome.
Right. So the Gemara at this last stage basically points out that basically the explanation of saying the reason why you're chayiv mamon, the reason why kimlay doesn't apply. By saying, oh, it's a case, or because of the klal of misa lezeh, tashlum lezeh, the maskana we're saying that klal is not at play here. So we're going to see, as Yehuda, you know, mentioned the ambiguity, there are two different ways to understand the maskana, right? So I would say the pasha way of understanding the maskana is that the Gemara, right, the line, the loshna, is rejecting the klal of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh, basically saying that, oh, you thought there was an exception to kimle misa lezeh tashlum lezeh, k'mash mulan, we reject that klal, and really there's no such exception, and really the p'tur of kimle always applies even in situations which would otherwise be defined as misa lezeh tashlum lezeh. But what is the, a bunch of guys mentioned this to me, what is the apparent problem with saying that the Gemara here, based on that memra, is rejecting the klal of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh? Not all at once.
Really? Yeah.
Exactly, that's the key. The key is that this, right, the Baal Memra hears, at least according to our gears in the Gemara, is Rava. And the problem of interpreting Rava's statement to be a rejection of the klal of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh is that, and we'll get to this later in the shir, is that Rava on Daf Yud, right, in the case of Ploni Baal Nara Burasa, basically applies the din, the exception of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh, right? So again, that would be a steer in Rava. So it's clear from Rava on Daf Yud in Sanhedrin that there is an exception to kimlay of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh. So again, according to that first reading of the Gemara in the Maskana is rejecting this exception of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh. You'd have to, and this is what Balatos has mentioned, you'd have to have an alternative girsa here of not the Amar Rava, but rather Rava, as the Gilyon points out on the side, there is a marsh based on Baba Kama and Tosas in Ksubis, as we'll see, that basically there's an alternative Girsa of Rabbi here. Again, so according to the first reading of the Gemara, that the Gemara here, based on this Memra, is rejecting this exception of Misa Lezeh Tashlum Lezeh, you'd have to be Gores Rabba, right, to be able to, you know, align that Shita with Rabba Shita on Daf Yud. Fine. But the other way to understand the Gemara is that what? That really, misa lezeh tashlum lezeh is an exception. That when a case is actually considered misa lezeh tashlum lezeh, you will be chayiv. Kimle will not be poter you. But the maskana is coming to tell us, that although Havamina considered this case to be a case of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh, the kamash milan is that, oh, no, this case, these cases, and in the context of Rodef, do not fall under the rule or the exception of misa lezeh tashlum lezeh. So again, misa lezeh tashlum lezeh is on the books, it is an exception, but it doesn't apply in this scenario of rodef. So that really leads us to really ask the more basic question of what exactly is the geder and the nature of this exception of mislazet tashlum lazet. Again, based on the different perspectives in the Rishonim of what the exception of mislazet tashlum lazet is about, we're going to have to plug in each of those shittos back into how they're going to understand the Gemara. Again, each of the shittos will have to understand the Gemara in one of two ways. Either the Gemara is rejecting mislazet tashlum lazet, or it's saying that it doesn't apply in this particular situation. So now we have to understand what exactly is the nature, what is the basis of this exception of mislazet tashlum lazet. The first approach, it's really a das yachid, but the first approach in the Rishonim, it's really the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, as we'll see inside in a moment, and that is what? That this exception, of misa lezeh, tashum lezeh, is limited to the realm of, fill in the blank? Edom Zomim. Hazama, exactly. This cloud, this exception of misa tashum lezeh, is a unique din in Edom Zomim. Basically, the way we'll read it inside in a moment, basically Rabbeinu Tam says that basically due to the din of Kasher Zomim Lasos La'achiv, which basically requires an Eid Zomim to be punished for everything that he wanted to inflict on his achiv. So therefore, if you're chayev Misa to one person and you're chayev Tashlumin Lazeh to another person, the Chiddush of Kasher Zomim is that you're going to be chayiv in both of them, because we need to fulfill kasher zomim in regards to each achiv. So in regards to each achiv that you intended to inflict some type of harm, you have to basically receive that punishment. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, this exception is nothing seemingly, one way of interpreting Rabbeinu Tam, is it's all a din in hazama, that the dinim of hazama require such a person, despite kimlei, to be mchuyav, to receive both punishments. So just to see this inside, everyone bring their sheet of Tosos in Ksubis. A lot of important Lashonas here. So starting with, you see, Nira L'Rabbeinu Tam, it's 13 lines down, it's smack in the middle. I bolded the, Rabbeinu Tam's name to make it easier to find. So I want to read for us, Shmuel.
Nira L'Rabbeinu Tam, the Ravo Dav Togabe Edom Zolomit. And we see according to Rabbeinu Tam that Rav specifically said that
Daka gabe idem zomim
isle de mamon lazev and afshas lazev chayav mishum de ba'in shetis kayim hazama klape kol echad.
Alright, so Rabbeinu Tam is saying that this exception to kimle misal zeta shlun zeh is dafka edin and hazama because of our need to be mekayim the pasuk of kasher zamim lasos la'achiv regarding each achiv. Umiu
mamon unafashos b'chay gavra patur.
Actually, we'll get back to that line in a moment. I'll come back to that in a moment. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, right, it seems, right, it's clear that the din, this exception of mislazet hashlum lazeh, is limited to the realm of hazam. Alright, and just plug it back to our Gemara. The way Rabbeinu Tam will seemingly learn our Gemara is that the basis of the maskana is to say that really there is, right, a notion, an exception of mislazet hashlum lazeh, but the maskana establishes that's limited to the realm of hazama. But since our Gemara is clearly not talking about hazama, right, hazama, that's what we saw in the cases of Sanhedrin Daf Yud and Tesla Beis, those are all cases of Hazama. But the application here in the context of Rodef, that's out of place, right? And that's presumably the way he's reading Gemara, is that presumably he thinks the Maskana introduces that notion. Obviously, the Havamina assume that Mislazet Tashlum Lazeh as an exception applied in all cases. Kamash Milan, the Loshnan in the Maskana, to say that no, this particular case, since it's outside the realm of Hazama, is not subject to this exception. So that's the way Rabbeinu Tam is going to learn the Gemara, is saying that Mislazet Tashlum Lazeh is on the books, but it just doesn't apply in this situation because it's outside the realm of Hazama. Fine. So just to analyze quickly the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. And the major question we have to ask is, if according to the way Rabbeinu Tam seems to set it up, is that from the perspective of Kimlei, it seems like Kimlei should apply. Right? The parameters, all the requirements regarding Kimlei do apply. And it's just that the din of Kasher Zamam is there. So the question you have to ask is, basically you have a clash between Kasher Zamam and Kimlei, so what dictates that Kimlei should win? Why don't you say that Kimlei comes along and overrides Hazama? So So that's a question that's important to ask. And actually, the Shita Mikubetes in Ksubis, on the sugya there of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Veli Divrei Rabbeinu Tam. So Shita Mikubetes basically accepts this current understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's really all a din and kasher zamam, and that really from the perspective of Kimlai should apply. And he says, it's a gzeiras hakasav. It's a gzeiras hakasav of kasher zamam. The kasher zamam overrides Kimlai. Right, so again, this according to this first interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam, that really from the perspective of Kimlai should apply, and it's just an overriding factor of Hazama as understood as a stomach gzeiras hakasav. Right, and the way the Shita Mikbetzes there says it, I'll just read it quickly. It says, "Afagav the Kaimalan b'cholat Torah, ein adam mesu mishalim the Kimlei v'zirameinei." Even though generally we have this cloth of Kimlei, mikamakum the Edim Zomim chidish rachmana. Nevertheless, there's a chidish din of Edim Zomim she mesu mishalim heichad mechayed mamun lozeh nefashos lozeh. Is it considered kasher zom? Basically, the way the Shita Mikbetzes seems to understand Rabbeinu Tam is that Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's a gzeiras hakasav of Hazama, which overrides the factor of Kimlei. So we're going to see, we're going to perhaps suggest an alternative explanation of Rabbeinu Tam on Sunday, which basically will perhaps explain why it could be that for Rabbeinu Tam, that this factor of Hazama basically dictates that even internally from the perspective of Kimlei, the requirements of Kimlei do not apply in such a situation. But we'll get back to that. But at the moment, it seems, this is the way Shita Mikbetzes understands Rabbeinu Tam, that this is all a din in Hazama. Yeah?
It's a truly exercise also of the relationship between two different people, Mikhaim, the Eid, versus...
Very good. Next question. So the next question we have to ask is, why exactly what Mashi is asking is that if there's a requirement of Asher Zalman Lassas Lachiv, seemingly that you always have to fulfill, you know, in person, Edom Zomim always have to get their punishment. So why, in the context, right, it's clear, Rabbeinu Tam agrees, and when it's Misa v'tashlum lezeh, when you're trying to mechayev a single person, both Misa and Mamon, that there it's clear that Kimlei applies, even in the context of Edom Zomim. So the question is, why there doesn't Kasher Zomim also override Kimlei? So here, there are two different answers presented in the Rishonim. One is Rabbeinu Tam himself, which I stopped, you know, Shmuel short of. And Rabbeinu Tam, that next line addresses this question. You see, Miu? Miu mamon nefashos pechad?
Miu mamon nefashos pechad gavro pater.
Right, and the implicit question is exactly this one. Why doesn't Kasher Zamim imply to say, oh, Mikasher Zamim, you intended to be mechayev in both Misa and Mamon, so why aren't you chayev both, even though it's one person? So what does he say?
Kiven de miskayev bo ktsasa zamim.
Basically, what is he saying? As long as you're Mekayim, Ktas HaZama, as long as regarding each person there is some fulfillment of Kasher Zamam, that suffices. So according to Rabbeinu Tam's version, which is the way quoted in Tosfos here, is that there's no problem, meaning the only problem is the Gzeiras HaKasav of Kasher Zamam is that regarding each person that you intended to inflict harm on, there needs to be some retribution. The Edom Zomim need to be paid back in regards to what they plan on doing to each person. But once there is some punishment in regards to this Achiv, right, you're going to be Mechayev Misa in regards to what you try to do. The fact that you're also not Chayev the Mamon, which you also try to inflict on him, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not a problem because, again, as long as you do Ktsas HaZama, it suffices. And that Shita Mikbet says there, it's not only Ktsas HaZama, but it's really like it's the Iker HaZama. Again, it's the Iker Onish is Misa, so that is the Shittim Mikbetzes and Laman Aleph and Ksubis, Dibur Maschol, Rabbeinu Tam, Kasa. There are ads, again, in the context of either Shi'ata Yachol HaZima, I'm not going to get into that right now, but basically points out it's not just Ktsas HaZama, but it's really the Iker HaZama. Yeah.
On the Shita, if I remember correctly, it was a while ago, the Jerusha for Kimlei had to do the Kedei Rishal So Mishim Risha Achas.
That's one of the Jerushas.
Okay, but just thinking off of that one, why can you just say that the drasha of Kedei Risha So? So what would be the Risha Achas? Would be, I don't know if I'm saying the same thing as the Shita, but it would be the Kasher Zamam is the Risha Achas. What is it within that Kasher Zamam?
I hear the direction you're going. The problem is that they're specifically talking about Misa and Mamon, happens to be, and the Risha Achas is really by Malkus and Mamon.
Okay,
so
I don't remember.
Yeah. So it's a whole big issue about the relationship between the two drushas. I mean, really, Misa and Mamon stems from the drusha of Lo Yeh Ason, and Risha Achas is really from Malkus. So it's a big question of relationship between those two, but yeah. Oh. Fine. But the other answer, which is important for Kimlei purposes, a bunch of Rishonim give this answer, is the following Chiddush in Kimlei. And that is, right, the kasha is, what do you mean? You're not doing kasha zamam, because the kasha zamam is really both misa and mamun, and you're only getting one of the two. So according to the following Rishonim, we'll see this, the Ramban, it's the Ritva, it's the Ran, they all say a huge chiddush in Kimlei, which is that Kimlei is not so much a p'tur of the onesh hakal, as much as it's, we basically, when you receive the onesh hachamor, it's as if you also receive the onesh hakal. Right? So when we give you the more chamor onesh, we don't view it as if, oh, you got away with not getting the onesh hakal, but some way, what my father-in-law he's always said, is that the onesh hakal is subsumed within the onesh hachamor. Right, it's, in a way, it's like a form of like a bittul in the sense that ever when you, the idea seems to be that when you receive the onesh hachamor, basically the significance of the onesh hachamor and the insignificance of the onesh hakal basically dictates that it's as if you got your full punishment, because in light of being put to death, the fact that you're not going to get $100 fine basically it's inconsequential. So it's as if you got whatever was due to you. So again, we're going to see this very important lashon in a number of Rishonim. We'll read three of them right now. We basically say this idea that, oh, the kasha was, oh, you haven't fulfilled kasha zalmam in full. Answer is no, you have fulfilled kasha zalmam in full, because receiving the misa, it's as if you also received the mamam. So you have this in a number of Rishonim. Number one is the...
Right on top of
the
mamam.
What?
Right on top of
the... Yeah, exactly. He does not seem right. In fact, he says the ketzas. Right. He seems to disagree with that. Exactly. There are two different versions of the, what we'll call the general shita of Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of the general shita of limiting misa lezeh, tashlum lezeh, to hazama. And then you have this question of, oh, what do you mean? What about, why don't you also have that exception when you have misa lezeh, misa v'tashlum lezeh? So again, there are two different approaches. Rabbeinu Tam, as quoted in our Tosas again, is that, it suffices to get ketzas, it suffices to get half. There's other approaches that, no, it's as if you get all of it. It's a very important idea. So Ramban in Makos, Daf Beis, Beis Amin Aleph, Tirmaskol the Ikanami, he has the following line. The Hasam, again, in this context of where the Kimlei is going to apply, you're not going to get the full Kasher Zama, but it seems not to be the full Kasher Zama. Ramban says as follows. The Hasam, Kevan Drachmana Amar Kimlei, Bidurama Mine, Keman Dimekayim Bakula Milsa Dami. Right, in the realm of Kimlei, when we actually only give it onesh hachamor, it still is as if you got the full package. It's as if you got both, and therefore there's no chisaron of kasher zamam, because it's as if you got the whole thing. Again, the Ritzvah and Makos there, Beis Amin Aleph, Dira Maskel V'Taima, very similar lashon, it's just such a wild idea, see it, that's in a lot of Rishonim. Similarly, dealing with the same issue, he says, Hasam, Kevan to Kimlei B'Drami Minei, Din Torah Hu, Shebechol Makom Sheish Misa Umamon, Shehamisa omedes b'mokom shneim. Very clear again that the reception, receiving the onish of misa, is omed, right, b'mokom shneim, as if you received both, and therefore b'kula hazamahi, and there was explicitly a full receiving of kasher zamam.
How does that work?
So again, it's the idea, like I was saying before, the subsumed idea is that it's like a form of like bittul, in the sense that from the halacha's perspective, since right, in relation to the misa, the mamon is so inconsequential. So therefore, you not receiving that mamon is basically, we don't even view it as if you got away with something. Because you receive the chamor onesh of misa, which is so much more chamor than the kal, when we look at what you received, we don't come away and say, oh, look, you got one of two. It's that you're dying, and therefore, you got what was due to you. D-U-E. Right? You got what was due to you. And then, the fact that you, again, someone's like, oh, but you didn't get the mamon. Okay, you're even like, think about the mamon in light of the misa. So it's like this assumed, little type of idea that in light of the misa, the mamon, the onesh hakal, is so inconsequential, so insignificant, that basically we don't even view you as having, gotten away with not receiving it. So again, the third, the Chiddush Eran, in Sanhedrin, Tesamid Beis, and again, that's in Sanhedrin, where the concept of misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh is first brought up. Chiddush Eran also has this exact formulation. It says, "Aval b'sheyesh mamon v'nefashos le'echad," when both the mamon and the misa are for one person, where kimlei does apply, "Pater min ha-mamon v'chayev v'nefashos," kimlei does apply. You only get the misa, not the mamon. "Deshapir mekayim bei kasha zamam lasos la'achiv," and it's a full, complete, kiyum of Kasher Zamam. So again, the Ramban, Ritzvah, and the Ramah seem to be all addressing the question. Instead of saying, oh, like Rabbeinu Tam, as long as you get half, that's enough. No, it's as if you got it in full.
Pashtus. You already got your onesh.
No, so the Pashtus, there is still a chiv. There are people, it's interesting. There is a shita who's mechalik between. You're asking a very good question. The Pashtus, I mean, when the Gemara in Bar Mitzvah Tali Aleph says the Yechai V'dei Shemayim, that applies even after you receive the Misa, I guess from your estate, theoretically. But for other shitos, this is a famous like Yamshal Shlomo, there's a lot of Torah and Shirim quotes as Ksos, who basically says the chilik between prior to Kabbalah Onish Hamisa and post. And exactly this is so. They're basically saying, and exactly I think what you're hinting on, getting at, is that obviously prior to your actual receiving of the Onish HaChamor, so then, okay, it can be a Chiyah B'dei Shemayim. But once you receive it, and it's as if, exactly, it's as if you got both, so then their Mechala can say, no, even in that case, there's no Chiyah B'dei Shemayim. So again, exactly what you're saying, exactly, because this Yisod, they exactly explain that Shita, and that why after Kabbalah HaOnish, there would be a Chiyah, because it's Mimanav Shalach, why, meaning, if the Chiyah B'Onish B'Pashtus, you know, triggers, I'm like, why should it matter that you receive the onesh? But again, exactly, because Moshe is saying that if you take this perspective that the receiving the chamor, it's as if you receive the kal, so therefore there would not be any chiyah b'dei shemayim anymore after you receive the chamor. That's exactly the way they set it up. I forgot it first. Oh, fine. So Adkan is right. The first approach to misl zeh tashum lezeh, which says basically it's a din in hazama. That's a shita Rabbeinu Tam. We explain all the different implications regarding hazama. The major the more normative approach to misl zeh tashum lezeh is that it's not a din in hazama; it's rather a din in kimle, right? That ordinarily kimle, when there's a chiyah misa and a chiyah mamon, there's an onesh acham or an onesh akal. Generally, kimle comes along and is poter onesh akal. But in cases of misl zeh tashum lezeh, there's an ingredient missing, or there's an important ingredient which is necessary for kimle to apply, which is missing in this case of misl zeh tashum lezeh, and therefore, cases of misl zeh tashum lezeh, internally the patur of kimle doesn't apply. Again, not that an outside din of hazama is overriding kimle, but that internally the necessary ingredients, the necessary requirements for kimle do not apply. So you're going to see that in general, this ingredient, different ways how it manifests itself, but in general, this ingredient which is missing, which is necessary, is this requirement of a tseruf, of a connection between both onshin. The idea is that kimle can only come along and say that the onish hachamor is going to be poter, the onish hakal is when there's a necessary relationship, a necessary connection between those two onshin. So this requirement of a tseruf, of a connection between the two onshin, basically manifests itself in a lot of different realms, in terms of what type of relationship is needed in order for kimle to apply. And like lamashal, if you're doing kimle, let's say it's a little crude, but a crude mashal for kimle of like the onesh hachamor being, let's say mevatel the onesh hakal, is like the idea of bittel, right? In order, like it's like bittel b'tarovis. Generally, in order for bittel to apply, both items need to be in the same tarovis. Again, there needs to be a connection, there needs to be a tseruv between these two factors in order for you to say, oh, bittel is going to, there's a sufficient clash between them that now bittel of one, of let's say, the robe is going to be, come to be mevatel, the mir. So again, just like in tarovis, right, through the tarovis, you need to have a connection between these two different items. So too, by kimle, in order for the onesh hachamor to be mevatel, to be poter, the onesh hakal, you're going to need some connection between the two onshin. And so again, one big topic we're not going to discuss, where this need for tzeirah comes up, is in the realm of timing. Right? And there's a big sugya, actually, Ksubas Laman Aleph, where it seems to be, according to everybody, that both onshin need to take place at the same time in order for kimle to apply. And the idea seems to be, again, a manifestation of this notion, that there needs to be a connection between the onesh hachamor, the onesh hakal, in order for kimle to apply. So in one way that seraph needs to manifest itself is in the realm of timing for both of them to be bebasa achas. It's a whole sugya in terms of how you define the timing. That's not our topic, but again, this is one realm where you see this requirement of seraph coming up. So now that, all right, again, so the idea, the exception, Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh, is that in the case where Misa is Lezeh, I'll leave it vague for now, and the Tashlum is Lezeh, that breaks the connection between the two different onshin, and therefore dictates that Kimlei doesn't apply. But within this, right, this general idea that it's, you know, that's an exception within Kimlei, based on the lack of Tziruf, there are two very different approaches, two different ways, and basically to understand in which realm of Tziruf is Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh dealing with. So the first approach is that is the one accepted by the Ri, which we saw in Tosos. That is that we're talking about Tziruf in the realm of Maisim. To say that what Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh means is not probably what you thought it meant, that it's Mitzuruf to different Gavros, we'll get to that, and that's the second approach, but rather that Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh is basically a simon to that there are two distinct maisim, right? The maisa avera, which is mechayev the onesh hachamor, is a distinct maisa avera than the maisa avera, which is mechayev the onesh hakal. And according to this approach, because each onesh is something from distinct maisim, that breaks the necessary tzira between them. And according to this approach, the only time you have kimlei is when both onshim are connected in the realm of maisa, in the sense that they both stem from a single ma'isa. So then one single ma'isa, which is mechayev, two onshin, so they're sufficiently connected because of that single ma'isa, and then kimlei could apply. So if you look at the Ri, quoted in our Tosas, in Ksubis, Dani, what would you like to read for us? This is the Ri Ratz L'Yashev, it's like seven lines down from the top. The Ri, word Ri, is bolded. So again, Ri, you'll see, the Ri, the Shita, comes up twice in Tosas, and in both instances, his driving yisod behind the klal of Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh, is that it's all about there being two maisim, and that's the patura. And therefore, as long as you have a case where both onshim are stemming from one maisa, then even if on a gavra level it seems to be connected to two different people, as long as it's one maisa, kimlei will apply, because again, according to the Ri, it's all about maisa achas versus two maisim. Let's see if the Ri Ratz L'Yashev.
Three Ratzel Yashin Parisha Contras, the Khashim Hafa Misa Lazet, the Sashlum and Lazet, Lafisha Hani Bays Maisim, Achilas Truma, Kriyas Yurum. So he's concerned to two different entities.
Okay, so what's the case at hand? Just you jumped in there.
He ate Truma at the same time, Truma at the same time as ripping someone's soul.
Yeah, so basically, right, it's clear that those are two distinct actions. One's an action of, you know, eating, and one's an action of tearing. So they happen to be done at the same time. So in the realm of, you know, zman, and timing, they're sufficiently connected. According to the Ri, what Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh is saying, that you also need a connection in the realm of Maisa for them both to stem from the same Maisa. So, oh. But what's his implicit kasha? The following.
He
said, before we get into the answer, so what's the implicit kasha? He's referring to, which case?
The case of Rava Sanhedrin.
Exactly. So what's the case there?
He's made that someone was Baal, a specific Isha.
A Nara Morosa, exactly. But a specific one, exactly.
Right.
And therefore, he's Chayev both Misa and Mammon, right? Because Misa, he tried to kill both of them, and then Mammon, because he tried to be Mavs at her Ksuba. The Gemara says, even though it's Misa and Mammon, you're still Chayev. Why?
She's still a Nara, so her father gets all of her anything.
Exactly, all the money. So therefore, it's Misa Lezeh, and Tashlum Lezeh. So we get exactly who the Zehs are, and we'll get back to that in a moment. But the way, actually, for the Ri, it actually doesn't matter. Because for the Ri, so according to the Ri's, you know, world's view, that everything's based on a Misa. So the implicit kasha is what? Here, there seems to be one maisa, right? The Edom Zomim testify falsely about both the Boel, right, the Roveya and the Nirva. So the kasha is, according to the driving force behind Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh is all about it being two maisim, and that's why they're not connected. So the question is, how can the Gemara and Daf Yud apply Misa Lezeh, Tashlum Lezeh in a case where it seems to be one maisa? You had one Haggadus Edus on both the Boel and the Nivela. So what is the answer? Bichirish?
They could have been made on the ball and Mikhail Misa for that without her. And on her without him, so on the first they're chayav misa, and on the second, no.
Exactly. So he spells it out, right? You could say.
Okay,
so two different cases. You can say that, oh, a specific cloning is Boel Estam Nara Marasa without naming her, or you could say that, oh, she was Novellas as a Nara Marasa. Oh, so basically, that's Bichadish. Again, this is more of an interesting Haggadah's Eidim's Hazama issue. They're basically saying that even when there's a single Maisa Haggadah, at the end of the day, it was one sentence, the fact that conceptually it can be broken down into two, we view those as two distinct Haggadahs. And therefore, even in that case, we can say, oh, two distinct Maisei Haggadah, and therefore, it's an exception, two different Maisei. This is Aval Madlei Gedish.
Aval Madlei Gedish, Hakoba Al Maisei Abad, Olcha Fashiv Misa Seshlom in La'abad. If he's smiling his Gedish as Shabbos, then it's all one Maisei of all Shabbos.
Exactly, right, because the kasha that the beginning of Tosfos is dealing with is that here a case where, you know, you're mazel a gedish on Shabbos, right? You burn some hay, you know, on Shabbos, so you're chayiv mamon to the, you know, to the baal of the gedish, and you're chayiv misa to Shemayim. So from a certain perspective, you can say, oh, that's also misa lezeh tashim lezeh, because the person is related to, you know, the person to whom the, you know, the mamon is connected is not the, not Hashem to whom the misa is connected. So therefore, it sounds like Misa Zeta Shem Lezeh. Why is a Gemara apply Kimlai there? So basically, according to the Rishon, says, oh, I understand. But according to my Yisro, it's not about to whom the Onish is Mitzuruf, to which Gavra, but rather it's about Maisa Echad. And there again, there was one act of burning it, which happened to be, you know, Chayiv Mamon, and Chayiv and Shabbos. So therefore, that's the Ri is, you know, good. And then coming back to the Ri, later in Tosfos, oh. So you see, we'll start with actually Rabbeinu Tam Zariah, and then the Ri's rejection of it, Lashita. So, see where it says, Va'od Omer Rabbeinu Tam, right after it quotes Sanhedrin Daf Yud. So the first word of the line is Sanhedrin Daf Yud.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Is it Od Omer Rabbeinu Tam?
Od Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Ta'okar Chafu Kule Alma Mislasav Sashlom Lasav Plater. It must be everyone holds that aside from Hazama,
exactly.
It's Plater. Ta'akimle Bidravamine de Plater, Nafgalan me Loia Son Gomer. Vahasam have a Misa Laisha Vislumin La Baal. Shavlados Shalom, yet still the Torah said he's
Potter. Exactly, so there's a Kimlai, and if you take the normative understanding, which we'll get to soon, it's all based on, you know, to which Gavra the Onish is Mitzuruf. So the case of Milo Ye Ason, right, you tried, you know, where the, right, you're a Chayav Misa because you're trying to kill one person, and you end up, you know, only, you know, causing a miscarriage. So there, right, the Misa is to the, sorry, the case where, as you try to kill her, it says Mishle, Mishle Isha. Okay, either way, where the Misa is to one party, and the, you know, the Mamon, the Chiyah Mamon, is to another party, and yet that's the paradigm of Kimlai. So if you take the normative approach, it's all based on which, to which Gavra and Onish and Tzuruf, that seems to be an exception to Kimlai, not the paradigm of Kimlai. So, oh, so this is, so Rabbeinu Tam takes that as a Raya to his approach. Oh, so you see, outside of Azama, this exception is not an exception. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam brings that as a Raya to him. But now the reason I say no, Lishitasi, I have another way of explaining that raya. Why there is Kimlei in that case, even though it seems from an Agavra level, it is Mitzuru up to two different Gavras. So, Va'omari.
Va'omari. Zeyna raya. Tahasam kevan shavados pain v'gufa isha kashiv mis v'seshlom alachad. Even though he's paying two different people, but really it was all in one body, so it's considered to one.
Oh, so what I interpreted that line, right? Question, what does it mean, Beguf HaIsha? I interpreted this in light of the earlier Ri, that Beguf HaIsha is assumed to being one Maisa. Right? Since all your actions are regarding one Guf, say if it's Maisa Achas, and therefore Lashitas HaRi, it doesn't matter that, you know, the two Onshin are Mitzuruf to two different people, because Ri Lashitaso, as long as both Onshin are stemming from one Maisa, that is where Kimlai is going to apply. Again, so Ri Lishitaso thinks everything is Talei on Maisa. So one other Shita, lowercase Shin, who holds, you see what I mean in a second, holds of the Shita, is the Shita Hikubetzes, right? Uppercase Shin, right? That, again, the way he interprets Rashi, as we'll see, the Rashi and Ksubis, is also saying that the Koveya for Misa Lezeh, Hashem Lezeh, is all about the Maisa. Fine. So if you look at Rashi, Maishi, want to go for the Rashi and Ksubis?
Sure.
So again, right, the context is the Gemara, but you know, you're eating Truma, and the same time that you're eating Truma, you eat, you're Korea, the Shiraim of someone else.
Right. So Rashi says, Vikar Shirayim, Vishal Shemboleh, that's what it's mostly about. Naisum?
Exactly.
Okay. Vavagav, the Misa, La Mishum, the Mona, the Mizak, ICLA. Even though the Misa is not coming because of the Mammon of the Tchil, or the idea of the Mizak being Chayim Mammon.
It's a very big Lashon Rashi. You see a lot of different Mefarshei Rashi in terms of what exactly that means. Okay. Finish up.
So, Miftar, Misrila, Rashi, Misa, Lazet, Vishum, Lazet, Mifpater. We assume that this case is Misa Lazet, because I guess when the person himself is Chayim Misa, and it's Hashem Lazet to the other person who's he's ripping the Shirayim for, and he's still Potter because we say Kim Le Midrabi Mine.
Exactly. So basically, according to Rashi, this is what Tosas picks up at the beginning of Tosas, is quoting this Rashi. So Rashi says that this case does fit into the category of Misa Lazet, Hashem Lazet. We'll get to exactly why in a moment. But therefore, why is the Deya here applying Kimlei? So it must be that this Deya rejects this exception of Misa Lazet Hashem Lazet. But what everyone's pointing out is that Rashi is taking a stand on what exactly the Geder of, I mean, what exactly the Yisod of Misa Lazet Hashem Lazet is with this line. So again, it's a very vague line where he says, Avagab de Misa, or the Chi Misa is Lav Mishum Mamona de Nizak Asle. It's not coming because of the Mamon, which is being, damaged. So the question is, what exactly does Rashi mean there? So there are different mefarshim. So the way the Shita Mikbetzes in the spot here in Ksubis, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph learns, Dira Maskel Vikara Shirayim, I don't think this is the best pshat in Rashi, but the way the Shita understands Rashi is in line with the Ri. That he thinks that Rashi here is trying to formulate this issue of Maisa Achas versus Shtei Maisa. That's the way he interprets it. As if to say that the Misa is not on the mamon, meaning it's a different maisa, because the achila, the truma, is on a different object than the object of the nezek, which is the simen, to the fact that these are two distinct maisa. So again, I don't know if that's the best reading in Rashi, but at some point, the Shittim Mikbetzes is a Rishon. The way he interprets Rashi, he basically thinks that Rashi is in line with the Riz. Again, this is called 2a, whatever, that within the general perspective that, Misal Zet Hashem Lazet is a din in Kimlei. Again, the first approach is that the Geder of Misal Zet Hashem Lazet is the lack of Tziruf in the realm of Maisa. The second approach, called 2b, is that, the reason why Misal Zet Hashem Lazet is an exception to Kimlei, again, is that it's because of the lack of Tziruf, but the lack of Tziruf, according to this approach, is not in the realm neither of Zman, are not in the realm of Maisa, but rather in the realm of Gavra, right? In regards to which Gavra is each Onesh Mitzuruf. And according to this approach, and we'll see, the big issue within this approach is how you define to which Gavra a certain Onesh is Mitzuruf. But according to this approach, you also, right, beyond the realm of Zman and beyond the realm of Maisa, even in the realm of Gavra, there needs to be a connection between the two Onshin in the sense that these two Onshin need to be related to the same person. But once, and this is probably the simplest understanding of the Klal, once it's Misa Lazet to this Gavra and Tashlumin Lazet to another Gavra, that, the fact that each Onish is Mitzuruf to a different Gavra, that breaks the necessary Tziruf between the Onshin and therefore it dictates that Kimlei will not apply. So we're going to get to this in a moment, but the first person, this is probably the Pashup Shah, and this is probably most Rishonim say this, and the clear Rishon who formulates it like this is none other than Rashi himself. Rashi, on both of these Gemaras, first on Ayadalad on Galav, we'll just read it inside, Rashi seems to clearly formulate a din of Misal Zet Hashem Lazet in these terms, and which is probably why most people, when they think about this term, understand it this way, and again, most Rishonim understand like this as well. So, Dilma Aschel, Dilma Shani Hacha, you want to go for it, Avi?
Dilma Shani Hacha. Lahachi, Mishalim, Bapo, Gav, Dileka, it says.
It's Ika, they changed it. Yeah? They changed it to Ika, it's
important. Oh, Ika, okay. Dileka, Mishalim, Bapo, Gav, Dileka, it's Ika, it's
sorry.
So, he has to pay even though there would be a Tzad Misa. Check that for next Rashi.
What? Mishum? Oh, did I do... You see Dilma shining on? Sorry, Mishum Dimisa, did you finish?
What?
Sorry, did you finish Rashi?
Those water splits it.
Oh, they split it, okay. Oh, really? Okay, mine doesn't. I'm like an older version. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah.
Mishum Dimisa, was that Mishum was that? So, because there would be Misa, was that
So now he defines, what does he mean by Misa Lazet Tashlumim Lazet?
Yeah, so Hamisa v'Hatashlumen Einem Ban Lo Al Yidei Adam Echad.
Oh, so that's a big formulation, right?
Yeah, that's not coming Al Yidei through one person. Shamisa Ba Alav Bishvil Chavero Shaya Meir Vimo. That the Misa is coming because of the because of his friend. And the Tashlumin is coming from the
Sure, a different person.
Yeah, he's someone else. So he's just a stamp person.
You're busy. That's why I don't think it's the wife of the guy. Right? Because it's the wife of the guy, I think it's the same problem. Like, so assuming that this is a wife of a different person, then you have, you know, again, the Misa on account of one person and a Tashlumin on account of another person, so that's exactly
So therefore he's not part of Tashlumin because it's a totally different thing from the person who we got the Misa.
Exactly. So, right, so again, back Rashi and Dalit is very clear that the way he understands Misa Lezeh Tashlumin Lezeh is Kapash is Lezeh and Lezeh referring to two different coffers. And similarly on Tesamid Beis, when Rashi and the Gemara there, for the first time, quotes this klal misa lezeh tashlumin lezeh. Right, Rashi there also has a similar formulation. It's all about to which gavra the onish is in the tzuruv. So you see, just doing it. You see the fashos lezeh towards the bottom.
Yes, got it. Okay, the fashos lezeh, the nairagim b'shvil ha'idin.
Let's keep it for a moment. We have the ksavar.
The ksavar Rabbi Yosef kipater rachmana.
When does Kimlay apply?
Meaning it has to be had one person.
Exactly. So the positive that Kimlay only applies when both Unshin are Mitzurav to one Gavra. The exception of Mislazeh, Tashum Lazeh, is when each Onesh is Mitzurav to a different Gavra. Fine. So now, within this, what we'll call the more normative approach, the way most Rishonim understands this klal, is that again the basis of the patur is when each onesh is mitzurav to a different gavra. But the question that everyone, a lot of the mefarshim are struggling with is how do you define which onesh or which gavra a particular onesh is mitzurav to? Sometimes it's not very clear. Let's say we'll see in the different realms. I mean, when it comes to ma'isa achas shtei ma'isa, that's very clear. It's very easy to understand how you define a mice. It's also very easy to understand how you define timing. Well, that's also complicated for different factors, but you know, timing we understand. But what is this notion of an onesh being mitzurav to a particular gavra? Remember, we're not talking about the person who's chayev, we're talking about the other people. So the big question is, how do you define, you know, what's the gedder of this type of tzirav, but when are you mitzurav a particular onesh to a particular gavra? So a little background to this is that throughout the sugya of Kimlay, in a lot of different contexts, it's actually, you know, subject to my Kol Elyon Chaburah, that a lot of different aspects of the sugya of Kimlay, there seems to be a tension between two different factors, and that is whether the koveya for many different facets of Kimlay is the focus on the onshin or is a focus on the maisa avera. Just to give one example, again, where there's this tension between whether the skakir, whether the focus at hand is on the onish or the maisa aver at hand. So, for example, which is actually relevant to the, you know, Beis of Aleph, because it's cited by Rashi and Yad Ramah there. The question of, let's say, you know, chayv misos shogeg. That's a case where a person is chayv mamon, but he was shogeg on the chayv misa. So therefore, the Maisa, because he was shogeg, he didn't receive Hasra, he's not going to get the Onish of Misa. But he performed a Maisa Avera, which generally has the capacity to Mechayev Misa. So there's a big machlokas, Tanaim, Amoraim, about whether Kimlay is triggered in a case where the Onish Chamor was violated, or sorry, the Avera Chamura was violated by shogeg. And the breakdown is where you have a Maisa Avera Chamura, but you lack an Onesh Chamura. Again, due to lack of Hasra, there's not going to be any Onesh. So that Machlokas, big Machlokas about whether Kimlay applies in the case of Shogeg, presumably hinges upon this question about whether the trigger of Kimlay is the Maisa Avera Chamura, in which case it even applies Bishogit, because at the end of the day you perform the Maisa Avera, or whether you think the trigger is the Onish. Again, that's just one example within the realm of Kimle, in one particular realm of Kimle, where this tension or this Chakira of whether the focus is on the Onish or whether the focus is on the Avera. Again, another example, good for now. So, again, so we're going to see that when we're trying to analyze to which Gavra a certain Onish is Mitsuraf, we're going to see the same tension at play. But the question at issue within different Machloksim is whether the focus is on the Avera or whether the focus is on the Onish, and you'll see how that plays itself out. But just in short, now you have to really, now there are two types of cases, right, of Kimle, right? But you have to now figure out, you know, how do you define the parameters of to which Gavra the Onish is Mitsuraf. One is in the case of, you know, the Tashulman, and one is in the case of the Misa. Again, the analysis of the cases of Mamon are very different than the analysis of the cases of Misa. So starting with Tashlumin, because that's generally pretty easy to understand, right? Generally, in the case of Tashlumin, where you chayiv Mamon to someone, generally it's very easy, you know, to identify to which Gavra this Onesh is Mitzurah. Because in most cases, you know, both in the realm of Avera and in the realm of Onesh, it's all pointing in one direction. For example, in the case of the Gdish, you know, where you're mazik someone else's item. So, both in the realm of, you know, who the Onish is connected to, in terms of who you're paying, the Tashlumim, or the execution of the Onish of the Tashlumim, is being paid to the same person who is impacted by the Avera. Right? The Nizak is both going to be accepting the payments, we call the Onish, be connected to the Onish, because he's accepting, you know, the payments, and he's also connected to the Avera, because he is the one who was adversely impacted by the Avera. So generally in the realm of Tashlumim, it's very easy to isolate, you know, to which person the Chiyav Mamon is Mitzurah. Generally it's the person who is connected to both the Avera and the Onish. But one case, and this with this Machlokas will close, the case on Yudam and Aleph, it's not so simple. In the case of Yudam and Aleph, the case of Ploni Rava Naramurasa, so there, the person who is impacted by the Avera is different than the person who's going to be receiving the money, right? Because who is called the baldover of the Avera? The Namarasa. She's the one who, you know, took whatever was involved in the Avera. She was a baldover in the Avera. So on an Avera, you know, from the perspective of the Avera, the Mamon, Chiyav Mamon, should be connected to the Namarasa herself. But who's going to be receiving the money? The father. So here you have a good test case, even in the realm of Mamonos, this is the way, I think this is one way to understand Machokes here, in terms of, and we're saying the Machokes, in terms of who is the Mamon Lozeh. Is the Mamon Lozeh the Nar Marasa, or is the Mamon Lozeh, sorry, is the Mamon Lozeh the father, because he's receiving the money, or is the Mamon Lozeh the Nar Marasa, because she's connected to the Avera itself. So here you have a test case, even within the realm of Mamonos, of whether the focus, again, is on the Avera, and in this realm, the way that manifests itself in terms of the baldavar of the Avera, who is involved or who is impacted by the Avera, or is the focus on the Onish, to whom, to which person is the Onish can be executed, who is receiving the Mamon. So here, if you look at Rashi and Daf Yud, so Rashi and Daf Yud is very clear that when he's defining the case, that he understands that Mamon Lazen is going to the father. And he explains because since the father is receiving the Mamon, because he receives the ksuba, because of kol shvach nureh la'avia, therefore v'havalei mamon lezeh la'av. So Rashi clearly says it's all talking on who's being paid, and the way, I think, one way to analyze it is, according to Rashi, the focus is on the execution of the onish, and therefore in the realm of mamonos, who is going to be receive the compensation? The mamonos. Oh, just do this really quickly. And the Marsha, who on this Tosfos, on Aratosis, again, as we'll see in a second, that Tosfos himself seems to formulate the case as being to the bas, to the daughter. But the Marsha, again, like Rashi, changes the gears and tells us, it's actually in the Gilyon in the Mars Exuba, that's the Barilan. But the Marsha, again, in line with Rashi, says, no, change the gears to the Tosas. Really, the focus should be on the Bas, because she's the, sorry, it should be the father, because he's the one receiving the Onish, the compensation. But the Pnei Yoshua, on the spot, on this Tosfos, on Laman of basic subas, says no, understands Tosos Kipshuto. Tosos Girsa, which is focused on the Bas, is correct. And he explains because she's the one who's impacted by the Avera. She's the Baldabra of the Avera, therefore the Onish or right, of mammon is mitsura to the. So again, you have this machlokas. One way to analyze this machlokas in terms of this exactly this tension which exists throughout the whole sugya, but whether the koveya for different aspects of kimle is the onesh or whether it is the misa. And I guess with that, we'll close, and we'll move on to the misa discussion at the beginning of Sunday.